Blog Talk Radio. This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell. It's great to have you here with me today. I have a very special guest. We're going to be talking with Angela Day. We're going to be talking about how unforgiveness harms us and how to forgive and truly allow healing. Angela is a forgiveness coach and author of Love the Hell Out of Folks, My Story of Healing, Broken Family Relationships, and How You Can Too. She offers guidance, strategies, activities, and coaching to repair and heal relationships. Welcome to the show, Angela. It's so great to have you here with me today.
Thank you, Mari. Glad to be here.
Great.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your story.
Thank you for having me today.
Oh, okay. Tell us a little bit about your story. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, after I had written my paperback book on Love the Hell Out of Folks, and I began to do more research about unforgiveness, I found myself wondering and praying to God about what He wanted me to be and what He wanted me to do. So one day, I saw a site, you know, a website about forgiveness coaches. And as I began to read it, I said, well, that's what I'm doing. I am a forgiveness coach. And as such, boom, I'm a forgiveness coach. And I'm here to give hands-on guidance, different strategies and activities, group coaching, and more to repair and heal relationships, to go from a place of unforgiveness, Mari, to forgiveness, to those who are ready and willing to make that change in their lives, okay?
But wonderful. Yep. So tell us, though, about your story to forgiveness, a little bit about it so the listeners understand what you've gone through and that this has been part of you yet.
Okay.
Why you started this, why you're so passionate, because I know you're passionate about this. Yeah.
Okay. Well, basically, I've always wanted a mother and daughter relationship. My mother didn't raise me. My aunt ended up raising me, but I didn't know that until 10 years later. So you can say I had abandonment issues. I thought that Cinderella had a better life than me. And my mother physically and mentally abused me so much until even when she raised her hand, Mari, we could be at the table and she went to reach for the salt, I would jerk and she would call me stupid, crazy, you'll never make it in life, you're so dumb. And I end up having a stuttering problem. Basically because I couldn't get out. She wouldn't let me finish my sentence, you know, my sentences with her. When I tried to tell her what was going on, because my sisters would lie on me, they would tell her that I did things. And she didn't give me a chance to explain or tell her that I didn't do it. She would just take her fist and knock me upside my head or take my head and push it into the wall. You know, that's what she would do. Some of the things she would do. And other things she would have a thick leather belt, and had a huge buckle on it, and she would whip me with that, and she would also have my sisters go out to the tree, well, know the trees, and get one of those tree limbs. It actually does, you know, and plait it, and she would whip me with that, and I end up having whips all over my body and stuff. She did that as well. I mean, there's a lot of things that I went through physically and mentally with her, but even through all that, I wanted to still have a mother and daughter relationship with my mother, with my real mother. I didn't understand why she didn't love me, why she didn't care about me, why, you know, she wasn't concerned or wouldn't listen to me. I just couldn't understand that, you know. And in going to church, you know, church is what saved me, being in God, having God in my life, Mari, that's what saved me. That's what gave me the I guess you would say the drive and the initiative and the confidence to keep going after it, to not cave in and quit, and not to take my own life, okay, not to do harm to myself, because I had God and I knew that God loved me. And the more I learned about what His love was and what I should be doing for others who hurt me and who do bad things to me, God is love, and therefore I need to be loved. So I can't do the opposite. okay? I have to do the opposite. I'm not one of him. I'm not one of his children. So in doing that, I learned that I have to show love and that God's kind of love, and I have to show his kind of forgiveness. So this book is basically for those who want to have a mother and a real mother and daughter relationship, who want to reconcile a mother and son relationship, because I had problems with my son because by me being in the military and being away from him and having my sisters and my mom raise him, there were a lot of, you know, parental issues that came up, you know, a lot of things he wanted to do and didn't recognize me as his mother. And then my sisters, I had to, you know, get to know them better. Okay, so that's what the book is basically about. It's about the things I've gone through in my life, but how God brought me out of all that. Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the forgiveness piece, because, you know, you told us what you've been through. You've been through a lot. And most people will say, well, how can you forgive? How can you forgive someone who treats you that badly? You know, do they deserve to be forgiven? And those are the things you hear people say. So speak a little bit about what it took for you to get to that forgiveness, and, yeah, how were you able to do that?
Well, the first thing it took me to do, I had to renew my mind. I always say one of my mottos is, when you change the way of thinking, then you can change the way of living, okay? So you have to renew your mind, because if you don't, you're going to keep doing the same old thing. But if once I made up my mind that this is what I wanted a mother and daughter relationship. Well, what do I have to do to have that? What can I do to reconcile with my mother and my son and my sisters? Okay. Second thing I did was I had to get to know what love is all about, God's love is all about. So that took studying. I had to get into the Word of God, find out what God says about me. How am I supposed to love myself? How am I supposed to love others? You know, and the greatest, one of the greatest commandments in the Bible is to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is, he tells us to love others like we love ourselves. Okay? So I've got to do that. I've got to learn how to do that. In order to do that, third thing, you've got to come out of your comfort zone. You can't stay in the same place, Mari, and expect things to change. You have to initiate. And I noticed that a lot of people don't want to make that first call. They don't want to make that first text. They don't want to even be around their family. When they cut them off, they're like, leave an old car that broke down on you, and you're upset, and you just leave it at the curb, and you don't even call the tow truck. Well, that's how they do their family. They just drop them there, okay? And they don't even come back. They don't even recognize. Somebody said, well, no, that's not my car. You ain't seen my car. No. They won't even recognize they even have a family. I'm an only child. You know, that's how they feel. And because that's the way they think, because they haven't renewed their mind, and they decided, well, I'm just going to black it out like nothing happened and just forget all about them. And that's what people do. And that's the wrong answer. You got to get down to the root of the matter. Find out, what is it in your life that is causing you not to forgive that person or that thing? Whatever it is, you need to get down to the root and face it. Be honest. That's why we're on this, you're doing your radio show, authenticity, being real. And so many people are pretending to be happy and not happy, Mari. That's why. Unforgiveness.
You know, what struck me of all the things you just said, Angela, was what you said. Then this is a key. When you change your way of thinking, you can change your way of living. That is so powerful, and it's so true.
Yeah.
You know, I tell my clients, if you want to change your life, you have to be willing to do something you've never done before, because obviously what you're doing over and over again isn't working. So that renewing of your mind, that's a key. That's a key. So, what do you think is the most positive thing that forgiveness of yourself, let's talk a little bit about forgiveness of yourself and others, has brought into your life? Because forgiving yourself probably comes first. Is that not true?
Yes. Well, I would say, me, it was humbleness. I mean, it taught me more about being humble. Ooh, Mari. About being humble. Okay. Humbleness. I don't think about myself. I think about what I can do for others, Mari. I am a minister of help, so I've always been that way. I've always wanted to do things for people. You didn't have the money, you didn't have the resources, but I learned to, my pastor told us, you know, give where you are. Don't give beyond your means. Give where you are. It's where you are. So I learned how to do that. You know, I learned how to do that. And like Joyce Meyer says, you know, we need to think of ways that we can be a blessing to others. And that's what I'm all about. I'm about being a blessing to God's people. And that's how I learned about it. It's not about me. It's about honoring God. The things I do for people, I don't do them because of them or because of me. I do it to honor God. Because when I honor God, he will honor me. Okay? So it doesn't matter what you think or what you say about me. If God says for me to go over there and help the person that's been talking about me or been blaspheming about me or lying on me, I'm going right on over there. If they need food, I'm going to bring them food. If they need me to care for them, I'm going to do that. Because, like I said, it's not about me. It's about honoring God. And so many people are walking around thinking that, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to help them. I don't care. I don't care if it took my spit to put them out. If they were on fire, they would end up being a crispy critter. Because I was that way once in my life. Because I hated a person just that much because of the things they did to me, and not only to me, but to my son. But I tell you, I read this book called Hell Divine, and it talks about the things that go on in hell. It brought me back, and I said, Lord, I don't want to end up in hell, so help me, Lord. You know, I repent. I ask God to forgive me for thinking that way about that person, to help me renew my mind and learn how to, you know, be friends with that person, learn how to, you know, accept them for who they are, you know, and just be nice to them. You know, just like God accepts me. He forgave me, so I should forgive others, you know. So that's what I had to do. But humbleness, that's what it teaches you. Believe me, if you really want to change, you're going to find yourself doing things that you don't normally do and out of your comfort zone. And you've got to be humble. It's gonna bring you there, believe me. If you've ever been through a situation like that, it's going to make you more humble. And it has for me. It has for me.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am. It has to make.
So as you stepped into that forgiveness that, you know, was hard and you knew it had to be done even though it wasn't easy, how did it change your life?
I'm sorry, what do you mean?
Stepped into forgiving the people who had hurt you,
what
wonderful things happened in your life? Because I know wonderful things happened.
A marvelous thing. I have peace of mind, and that's the most precious thing you can have, is to have peace of mind, to be able to rest and sleep at night, no longer crying out and to God and, you know, and staying awake at night, worrying, stressed out, you know, wondering, are you doing the right thing, or, you know, why is this not happening, having loneliness issue, feeling abandoned, all stress, all those things, anxiety, all that went away, Mari. All those things went away. And it was nothing but the peace of God. It was like a burden lift off my shoulders, and I felt light. I felt whole. I was at peace. It was a sweet spirit just fell over my body, and I was just as happy and light as I wanted to be, and still am.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Wonderful.
I'm telling you, to let it all go, it was beautiful. And I learned so much. It was much easier for me to forgive and to show love than it was for me to walk around with the unforgiveness, because it was like a job. It's a job.
Yes.
You know, it really is. I mean, I can't see how people do it, hating people, being angry with them, doing things against them, plotting, scheming, lying, cheating. I mean, that takes time. It takes effort. I mean, you got to, if you really want to get somebody, you know, I don't want to spend my life like that. Yeah.
Sounds exhausting.
Hey.
Yeah. That's wonderful. I love the way you put that. So we're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. And if you want to ask Angela questions, feel free to call in. The number is 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. And we'll be right back.
Trapped in the darkness of addiction and depression, she tried to commit suicide. Her family and friends stepped into the fog and gave her hope. She would rise to the challenge. After treatment, she created an art journal, which became a book by an author with an unguarded heart. Experience how she learned to be well. Well, a memoir by Alias in Town. Visit www.aliasintown.com.
Hey, it's Richard Pryor here, your happiness mentor. What do you want? Yes, I want to know and want to help you get it. So go to www.richiepryor.com and click on schedule a chat, and let's talk about how you can design your own life and discover more happiness in this private, no-cost conversation with me. Too many people settle for what they don't want in life. Please don't be one of them. Go to richiepryor.com and let's put an action plan in place to fulfill your dreams.
A new novel that could prevent bullying in schools and avert future school shootings. Saving Grace, A Troubled School by Vivian Chass, for teens and young adults. Available on Amazon and Kindle and paperback. For more information on the author, visit her website at www.truthandpc.com, or you can email her at vivianchass2018@gmail.com. That's vivianchass2018@gmail.com.
Hi, my name is Nelson Brown, and I am a student, author, environmentalist, philanthropist, entrepreneur, and minister in the making. Check out The Beauty in Us, Our Reality, my first book in my book series entitled The Beauty in Us, about body positivity and self-acceptance from a male's perspective. Check it out to see how I struggled with my self-image growing up. Check it out on Amazon today in a paperback and ebook format, and follow me on all of my social media platforms at Nelson E. Brown on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Well, we're back on Rare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Angela Day. Angela is a forgiveness coach and author of Love the Hell Out of Folks, My Story of Healing, Broken Family Relationships, and How You Can Too. So, Angela, what's the main message that you want to bring to the public? What's your main message?
My main message is that I want to say that unforgiveness has become a serious epidemic in our society today, Mari, and it's destroying the physical, mental, and especially the spiritual well-being of our nation, because carrying around unforgiveness can cause stress, depression, loneliness, anger, migraines, ulcers, anxiety attacks, diabetes, high blood pressure, even death, and most importantly, it can cause you to stop believing in God, where you no longer trust or want to have anything to do with him or the church. And that's wrong. That's the wrong answer. Because of the pain and the hurt that you're going through. And it's time for a change. We've got to stop and help those who are hurting. We just can't pass them by. We got to stop and ask, how can I help you? What is going on? And not just let the words go, I'm fine. Because that's the simplest thing people will say, I'm fine, or I'm okay, when you really know they're not. And people say, there's something in me that's telling me. No, it's the Holy Spirit is telling you to talk to them. Well, I got to get to know. No matter what you need to do, stop. Take the time out. Because all they need somebody to do is just listen. You'll be surprised how many people out there just want somebody to listen to them. Just listen. To make them feel that they are important, that they do matter. And only if you took the time out, what would have happened in that person's life? Maybe you wouldn't be at that funeral right now. Maybe they wouldn't commit suicide. Maybe they wouldn't be in jail. Maybe they wouldn't be in, you know, in the insane asylum. They wouldn't be in the condition, alcoholic or addictive to drugs. If you would have just took the time out and listened to them. And just let them know that they do matter and God loves them. You know, that's the thing that I am here for. I want to help those. I know I can't help everybody because my message isn't for everyone. Like I said before, you got to have a made-up mind. And if you don't have a made-up mind to want to change, to want to do better, want to reconcile, then you won't. But for those who are like me, who are willing to come out of their comfort zone, willing to make that change, willing to go that extra mile, I'm here to help you. I can do it, you know, through the word of God, through what God has given me and how I've come out. I can help you come out, but only if you're willing to do the work.
Yeah, that's important. That's an important point. You have to be willing to do the work. So what do you believe is the first step for a person who wants to forgive but they feel they can't? What's the first little step that a person must take?
Well, I said it earlier. You've got, I'll repeat it again. basically, you've got to find out what is it or who is it in your life that's causing you not to forgive. You've got to go back, like I said, to the root of the matter. In your past, see what started it. What was it or who was it that hurt you or did something to you or what happened? It could have been a what or who. Find out. Get to the root of the matter. Admit it. Like you said, be authentic. Be honest. Be real. And then we can deal with the problem. Then we can find out what's going on. Then we can deal with the problem. Now we can find a solution.
Mm. Yep. So you're saying that there could be things back in our lives, even going back to childhood,
that we
may not even be very aware of it anymore, right? Because so many years have passed. But there could be somebody who hurt us way early on that was already that little seed of unforgiveness.
Right.
And then,
because
of course,
we blocked it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we blocked it out. We blocked it out because, you know, growing up in the South as African American, Black, or however you want to say it and stuff and everything, because they change it. So, like every year or something, they're calling us different. You know, just trying to keep up with it. But still, it's like, when we grew up that way, you know, family secrets, don't tell nobody. You better not say a word. It stays in the family. What happens in the house stays in the house, okay? That's what we were taught. And if you tell anybody, I'm going to whoop you or I'm going to kill you. You better not say nothing. So they grew up with all that. So it's like a generational curse has been passed on to every generation because we won't say anything, but they're hurting inside. And you're wondering why you can't have a relationship, why your relationships don't last, why you're getting divorced after divorce after divorce, or why are you keep picking the same man over and over again or the same woman over and again? Because there's something in your past that you won't let go of, that you can't let go of, but you want to, but you don't know how to because you blocked it and you decided you're just going to say it's fine and move on. But it's not. It needs to come to come up. You need to talk about it. You need to come to full tuition and say, okay, this is what happened in my life, but nobody will let me get it out. Let's get it out now, okay? Let's find a solution. Let's get you some help, okay, so you can be at peace, enjoy life, and start having a healthy relationship, okay? That's the thing. That's what's going on. Pat,
I like it.
Until you deal with whatever it is that happened, that's how you can change your life around, is dealing with that situation. Stop covering it up. We got too many family secrets. I can tell you that right now. It's still going on. People are still doing that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what's hurting.
All families.
That's what's hurting.
Of all income levels, of all races and nationalities, there's always the secrets. And I love that you're bringing this to light because my family was that way. There wasn't any deep, dark secrets, but everything was like, you can't tell anybody. You know, we couldn't even stand outside our door talking to a friend. Oh, no, you don't stand outside the door. People can see you. You know, I'm like, I'm talking to my friend. It's okay. But, you know, because of that that wanting to, you know, to hide away. And I love your message because once you expose something and to your own consciousness, because this is held in our subconscious and that's why it creates so much damage. But once we bring it to the light and see it for what it is, you know, another thing that becomes wonderful, and you haven't touched on it yet, but I know that you know this as well, is that once we bring things to light, we can see that person with compassion, the person who hurt us. We can feel, we can understand that they were doing the best they could do at the time. And they were just probably following a family pattern, you know, when it comes to beating and stuff like that. They've been following a family pattern, and they're trying to feel better, but they don't know how to get out of this chain that they're in. But you broke it, so you've broken that chain in your family, which is wonderful. And so being able to see that person with compassion and understand that there was a reason. Doesn't mean it was right what they did, right? We're not making it right, but we're understanding
right.
their point of view. You want to talk about that
right.
a little bit? Because I think that's an important
yes.
point.
Yes, definitely. My mother, I found out as I began, well, as I got older, after I wrote my book and I began to do more research because I wanted to find out more about my mother, how she grew up, what happened to her. You know, I just wanted to know mm-hmm. some things and stuff. So as I began to do some research, I found out that my mother, her own mother, didn't want her because of her mm-hmm. color. I mean, her mother was red-boned. She looked like she was almost white. She had beautiful, long, curly hair, you know, and, I mean, just beautiful. And my mom was dark-skinned, okay? I'm dark-skinned,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so her own mother didn't raise her and abandoned her and left her. Another entire, holy, complete couple raised my mom, okay?
Wow.
So now I could understand. I don't know everything because, you know, of course, like I said, family wouldn't, you know, really divulge
mm-hmm.
everything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure there was other things that went on as well. So I could see where she didn't have a problem about raising me, abandonment issues, because she was abandoned, okay? And she was
mm-hmm.
left for another man because her father was dark-skinned, and so she took after him. So during
okay.
that society, those days, if you
mm-hmm.
could pass for white, then you were good. Black was considered
mm-hmm.
to be, you know, an evil color. So that's what that was considered back in those days. So you got to look at it like that. People don't want to say that's just an excuse. No, that's the environment that they was in. That's the status they're in. And some places still think that way because it's tradition, okay? So
yeah.
just like
mm-hmm.
money. But anyway, I'm getting. Let me stay on the topic that we're talking about now. I want to too much get into that because that's a whole different area. But I do want to say that in learning about my mother and the things that she went through, it helped me, yes, to have compassion with her, to love her even more, and to reach out to her even more. It helped me to want to do things for her, come out of my comfort zone even more. I learned
mm-hmm.
jokes. I made her laugh. I introduced her to Madea, you know, Tyler Perry. She loved Madea. So
oh,
I
gosh.
Even took her when he came, you know, I bought the CDs. I got the DVDs, you know, and and we had family night. I would bring pizza and wings over and stuff, you know. I would, even when they came here to the BJCC, it's a huge auditorium stadium here in Alabama. He came here. I took my mom, my whole family. I took them there, even my grandson. I took him there and stuff and everything.
Aww,
we all had a wonderful time. Yeah, you know, my granddad,
right.
my great-granddad. I mean, you know, I started introduced. I would sing to her. She loved for me to sing gospel to her. I love singing the word, you know, the word. I love singing songs of
mm-hmm.
praise and worship. So I would sing to my mom. I would do things for her. I would, even my sister would call me on the phone and say, make mom laugh. She missed you. She want to hear your voice. And there was a time
wow.
she didn't want to hear my voice. There was a time she didn't
right.
want me even around her, get out of her face. But like
right.
I said, once I stepped out of my comfort zone, stopped thinking about myself and how I was feeling, like just my says, what about
mm-hmm.
me? What about me? It's not about you. It's about honoring God. So as I began
right.
to do that, the relationship began to form and we began to reconcile and different things. And it took 38 years, Mario, but I just want to say that it took 38 years. But when I came home on November 28, 2005, my mom said, hug me, and she felt that she loved me, and she felt the Spirit of God when she hugged me. And she actually sat
wow.
down and talked to me that day and listened to my dreams and goals for the first time. And
what
I thank God. Yes,
yeah.
it was. I felt it. When I felt that when she hugged me. Yes. It was nobody
That's
but
awesome.
God. It was amazing.
We're almost out of time,
mm-hmm.
so I want to make sure that the audience gets to be able to get your book, Love the Hell Out of Folk,
yes.
My Story of Healing Broken Family Relationships. You can get it on Amazon. You can find
mm-hmm.
You can find Angela on my website, lifecoachmari.com. Just go to my radio show page and click on that, and you'll see her picture, and it'll link you to Amazon. She also has an event on July 27th that she's doing, and if you click on there, it'll tell you all about that as well. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's been wonderful having you today, Angela.
Thank you for having me. I truly enjoyed being with you, Mara, today, and everybody out there. Thank you so much for having me. It's been amazing. Thank you.
Thanks for listening in, and join us next time on Dare to Be Authentic Radio.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.